Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
About Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, if they're tied at the hip. And I really thought it was interesting when Mary Kay yesterday said no, but she doesn't think they're in any danger this year. I would probably say I would say it's like a no, but I don't think they're in immediate danger. Like if they start out 1-5, I don't think Kevin's getting murked. He's not getting the Lane Kiffin treatment. So that's more how I would put it. Just as we start this specific conversation, where do you put it with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry and kind of the greater conversation around those two and the success or lack thereof they've had?
So I think it makes sense that they'd be tied to the hip right now because they function as sort of, not as one, but in a way, like they back up each other, agree with all the decisions, and a lot of people sort of view them in the... They talk about the Browns regime. It's not like, oh, the GM was brought in and nobody likes what he's doing, but the coach is doing great. Some people view it that way. But I think Kevin's done a relatively a good job with what he's been handed. And I think that Andrew Berry, the one major knock you draw on him.
Just one?
Well,
I talked to some Browns fans. They got
like a million. I think the one main thing you draw is the draft, which is a fair criticism. I think his ability to draft is an unfair criticism. The reason that he's missed on a lot of his picks, a.k.a. trading away all your first-round picks for Deshaun Watson, is a fair criticism.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like, you know, we've talked a lot about Kevin, and I don't think Kevin this year is going to be specifically graded on just wins and losses. I think context matters. And specifically, like, was the state of the locker room? I do not buy. There, in truth to the Browns, there were not a lot of bad, unsavory things that came out of the locker room in the midst of a putrid season. When that locker room went into the season, talking about playoffs, talking about chasing a ring, and you fell, you didn't just fall short of it. You fell as woefully short as one can fall from that. And so the fact that we didn't hear those, hey, yeah, don't love the Kevin Stefanski, the fact that we didn't get anything out of that, it might be construed as a glimmer of hope. Again, this team's good at controlling information, so it might be nothing. I think it's going to be really hard to keep a locker room if this is another 3-14 season. So with Kevin, the devil's in the details. I kind of feel the same way about Andrew. I think Andrew's the tougher guy to grade for this season. Because I think with Kevin, you can just go to wins and losses plus the context. Andrew, I think you're going to be doing a lot of, well, all right, can he not draft or is it player development? All right, was this really a poorly built team 2 years ago and this year, or were they a poorly led team? I just think there are so many things that you can push back on with Andrew. And so I think it's going to be really tough unless we all agree like what we need to grade and judge Andrew Berry off.
Yeah, which I don't know we're going to get to. For me, like, I don't honestly know how, if Jimmy Haslam truly meant what he said, when he basically took accountability, he's like, yeah, it was all of us, but you can put the Deshaun Watson thing on me. I don't know that you can judge most of what happens this year, assuming that you find that the lack of success, if it so comes, which it probably will, is because, hey, we don't have a quarterback. I don't know how you judge Andrew Berry off of Did you win games? Did you not? Like, if all of the rookies outside of the quarterback look really good, but you just find we don't have a franchise guy in the room and we don't have a guy that reasonably holds down the fort good enough to put us in a position to win 9+ games, I don't know how you look at Andrew Berry and go, well, you did a terrible job this year. It's like, if you hate Deshaun Watson on the chest, that's the main source of your sort of issues and why the team isn't good.
All right, so there's part of this that I agree with. What I'll say is, if you just view it on 1 year silo, I don't think there was, it's an awful quarterback room. If we just go on of like what you've done recently in NFL, what you've done in the NFL, or where you were drafted, right? It's a late third round pick, a mid fifth round pick, a 40-year-old that washed out of Indy last year in a team that was actually a good Indy team last year. So he was kind of their Jameis, and it's a guy who's never played good football in the NFL in his life. Not good football. He's played atrocious football, unplayable football. None of this is a feather in anybody's cap, unless it actually turns out to work in some way or another this year. At the same point, other than eating money to take Kirk Cousins on, which wasn't smart with where you were cap-wise, there's no other thing. Like, unless we get some report that Aaron Rodgers actually would have signed in Cleveland, and even then, I don't think he signed for $11 million like he did in Pittsburgh. So I would have signed Aaron Rodgers, but that takes two to tango. The Kirk Cousins thing takes two to tango. You didn't get a shot at Cam Ward. I think overdrafting Jackson Dart wasn't smart. So, like, you look around, it wasn't a good quarterback market on any front. That's if you view it on a one-year silo. I think the problem is that because you went all in on Deshaun for so long, you allowed yourself to be caught in a predicament with your pants down, that knowing he's likely to never play here again, you went in an offseason having to replace every quarterback in your quarterback room, and that is because of inaction. The second, and listen, this is a revisionist history take. It's something I've thought, but I haven't put on the record, so you're allowed to call it revisionist history. The second Deshaun had a bad year, you should have drafted a quarterback. You did. It was DTR. You should have drafted a different quarterback. And then when Deshaun followed that up by having a second bad year, you should have gone higher in the draft last year. You should have given yourself, and you should have given Kevin, quite frankly, multiple runs at the quarterback so that maybe those guys had time to develop, where this year it's you-know-what or get off the pot for each of the rookies and even Kenny Pickett too.
Yeah, I think so. Part of going back and
just
at
real
it.
Quick, yeah. I don't view it in one. Sorry, I went on for 30 seconds or 3 minutes. I'm going to go on for three more. I don't think you should, like, if Andrew only viewed the quarterback room as it was Deshaun Watson and everybody else didn't matter, that is a failure. It's one thing to make the biggest trade in the world. And by the way, the other big mistake is moving on from Baker Mayfield. Whether the idea was right at the time, yeah, you failed because he became really good elsewhere and your quarterback failed. You should get hit twice for that. But then at every point when that guy failed, when Deshaun failed, at some point you should have woken up and said, maybe we'll take the situation behind him a little more seriously so we can have some continuity, even if that continuity isn't him.
Yeah, I think that probably should have been there. But realistically, like, if you pay a guy $230 million, the backup's not like, and I get, like, there were bad years, you're still on the books for him. If Patrick Mahomes played bad next year, and I understand, much different circumstance with what Mahomes has done. But, like, if you just paid him and then he plays bad, you're not going, oh, maybe we should draft somebody. Or even,
but you could have protected him, doing like what the Packers did with Favre, where you had Favre, he was 26 years old, and you continuously drafted guys, mm-hmm. and not just in case, because Brett did have some personal problems that were part of the in case, but because you can never have enough quarterbacks in that quarterback room that have a chance to start.
Yeah, I think you definitely could have put more guys in the room. You could have given them a chance, but even the guys that you drafted in Green Bay weren't like, they're going to come take the job from Brett Favre, right? It was, you're Brett Favre's backup.
But they're going to develop in the system, and if we need them, we can go there.
Right, and I think Kansas City takes a much different approach, where they typically go, let's go sign a veteran quarterback who, you know, something goes wrong, bleep hits the fan, we go out there and we put this guy in. Now, they know they have a successful quarterback already, but I think once you pour that money in, you don't look at it as just Deshaun, which they might have with DTR as a backup, but you should view it mostly as Deshaun, and a lot of our success is tied into, does Deshaun work? So I don't necessarily, like, hammer them for Oh, well, you didn't have a backup plan while he was here.
Well, but no, I think the point is, if you just go, well, it's a bad quarterback room, what choice do they have? They had seven choices, and every choice they've made at the quarterback position since deciding Baker wasn't it and they didn't want to be in business with him, every single one was wrong. At some point, that's a lot of choices. Hey, we're going to trade for Deshaun. Wrong. Hey, we're not going to draft a backup. Wrong. Hey, we're not going to have a decent backup behind him in case he's injured or stinks. Wrong. Hey, we finally got the backup, but he fits the old system. We got a new system now catered to Deshaun that the new backup in Jameis doesn't fit. Wrong. Like, oh, and now, by the way, all of that led to this watershed, this absolute point. Like that's got to be part of the equation. Like, if we're going to do context, we got to go all the context. One of those things, you're right. One of those things isn't the end-all, be-all. You put six or seven of them together, and it is pretty startling.
I think I would just be surprised. So, again, like, the Deshaun move itself is hard to put solely on Barry, and I think when we talk about judging Andrew Barry, a lot of that should come from what does it look like from a job perspective? Like, does he stay here? Because there's people that are unhappy. There will be people that, if this year goes poorly, they'll be more unhappy. I think it's a lot of how does Jimmy evaluate, and how does he keep his job? Does he not? And I think a lot of that should be tied into more of, I just don't know how you put it on wins this year. Like, if you take the Deshaun thing, and maybe they could have drafted a backup. Chances are they got that backup. If it wasn't a high pick, it probably wasn't going to be much here anyway. It's not like he was going to be. He might have helped you guide you through 3-14 last year. He wasn't going to immediately make you a playoff team, more likely than not.
I think here's the problem, it's specific to the Jimmy thing. Because, again, we're asking the question, you know, how should Andrew Barry be judged off wins or his draft class? I don't think it can be drafted off wins specific to this year, because they're a 3-14 team that had no chance at upgrading their quarterback spot, even if he led them to 3-14 last year. But specific to the Haslam thing, I think if you add to the context, like, I didn't know Haslam and Greg Williams didn't like each other. I didn't realize that. That's something JP informed me of the other day. Because, again, I wasn't here when that happened. I'm starting to get the sense that Jimmy, you're much more hireable long-term if Jimmy just likes you. And that's as scary as anything else I've heard. But the truth is, he should be drafted off his draft, or he should be graded off his draft class. So some iteration of his previous draft picks, like McGuire, who they really like, any of the young defensive backs, or any of these young guys. It doesn't have to be the quarterbacks. They need to play. You need one of these, not just one, because you took a top five pick. Mason Graham needs to tease cornerstone potential this year. He doesn't need to be cornerstone. He needs to show you immediate, hey, this dude can play, and he can play at the NFL level. And then the second thing you need to do is you need somebody from Quinshon to Schwesinger, the German linebacker, to Harold Fannin Jr., to Dylan Sampson. You need those guys to show that they can be cornerstone too. And that might not be fair. Don't care. I'm just rhyming again on accident. Good Lord. But that's, yes, I need to see. He had the assets. He had two second rounders. He had a first rounder. I need to see guys who look like they're ready to break out in the NFL this year. Otherwise, I'm just going to give him another pass for. At that point, he will have had as many years with first rounders as he wouldn't.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed.
Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whether it's guys he's already drafted or guys he did draft this year, it's time.
So I guess I more view it in a one-year silo, but with the caveat attached to it that it's a really short leash while he's there. Right? Like, you're basically at a, hey, what do you have from this year? Sure, toss the other draft picks that you made into the back of that. Like, if Isaiah McGuire, I think, turns out very nice or just flat out stinks, I think that's something that plays a part. But mostly, what does your draft class do this year? Because in my eyes, Jimmy's basically gone through and excused everything that's happened before already. By keeping them together after 3-14, after Deshaun didn't work out, you basically went through and said, it was fine. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to see if this thing works. Now it's, does it keep moving forward? Does it keep work? That'd be answered by, what did you do this year? How did the players you drafted perform?
216-474-0092. Should Andrew Berry be judged off wins or his draft class? And we're talking mostly about this year. I think we know we're going to be judging Kevin Stefanski off, but you always remember you're first. In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Our good friend, who Jake Volnick would call Other Jake, Jake Murren, who is the full-time producer of the show, by the way. It's Jake's first voyage with us, Jake Volnick's. This is going to get quick real quick.
Nice on. I mean, there's two Jakes. You can't just throw out two quicks.
And this is going to be making the open on Monday.
Well, I'm going to be doing things that I can forget this weekend. You have a first coming up.
Yeah, see, Jake and I have learned you go last name, and it fixes everything.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I still want to be the only Nick here, and Nick Padone can just be Padone. So maybe this would be like Jake, and then Volnick. That is a tough one right there.
See, I think it works better, and I know I just think my last name is not conducive to just calling me by my last name. Murren kind of works.
Or would you consider a stage name?
Elaborate.
Well, like a fair amount of people in sports talk. Like, okay, sports talk's the only one where unless you have a nickname, you don't use you actually use your name. Like, there's so many people in music that just use a different name. One of our biggest bosses has a different name. His on-air name is not the same as his actual name.
Yeah, I was told.
You could do anything. You'd be like, Consuelo Martinez. You could do any. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to say, like, you can go anywhere you wanted there.
I was told early on in this business that I should go by a different name because Volnick is very hard to pronounce correctly and then also spell correctly on top of it. And if I haven't done that now, I don't think we're switching to the stage name at this point.
So before we get to Jake's first here, I do have to say, Jake Murren's first here. I do have to say, when the first on-air gig I had, I shouldn't say the first on-air, the first full-time on-air gig I had was in Lansing, Michigan. I had a year there with the worst locally owned radio company you can. Not because of the people, because of the ownership group. One day I'll tell you all a little ditty about Ken McDonald and how I left that station. And it was nuclear.
Pew, pew, pew,
however,
pew, 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 pew.
Yeah. We might have to go harder than pew, 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 pew. However, I got it in my head that I was like, Nick Wilson's too common of a name. Someone's going to look me up. And so I started going by Nick Casey. And just basically, okay, that's a name that's in my family lore. I thought it'd be a nice way, nice homage. And so one day, hanging out, my dad's there. One of the bosses is there. We're all talking. They're like, how'd you land on Nick Casey? And I was like, well, I didn't want to. And all three of them, almost in unison, said, I don't think you're that important. And it took all the wind out of my sail.
My God.
And here's the thing. They were right. That is what I needed to hear. I was worried about paparazzis and stalkers at 22 years old. Need not worry. That's a stupid thing. That's a pretty self-involved take. Never have gone by another name ever again. Yep. Nope, never would. Nope, it's Nick Wilson. Find me. Now, you, sir, being Jake Murren, not Jake Volnick, you've got a first coming up this weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow, less than, 24 hours, I will be golfing for my first time ever.
Oh. So have you ever gone golfing but not participated?
No, not
Have you
once.
Ever watched golf? Do you even know what golf is?
I do know what golf is. Okay. I have all my life hated golf. Oh. I have sworn that I will never go golfing.
Looks like you're unswearing.
Yeah, I got invited this weekend by two college buddies of mine. Haven't seen them in a while. They wanted to go golfing, and I was like, you know what? I've turned them down a couple of times. You know, it's been a busy summer, but hey, let's go. Let's commit to this one. And now I'm a little nervous going golfing for the
first
time. It's
interesting. Why is this the time? Somebody terminal cancer?
No, they invited me.
A lot of
movies
happen like that. I'm never going to do that. Tim's got terminal cancer. Well, I got to go now.
No, I mean, I feel like I should go. I want to hang out with the guys, but we are going golfing, and it'll be my first time.
All right. So why are you nervous?
Because I have no idea what to expect.
You're going
to
be awful.
Oh, I know that. I'm going to be trash.
Oh, yeah, that's fine then. If you accept that, if you just go to hang out with your friends and have a couple cervezas, you're fine.
Am I allowed to quit?
No.
To see that's not a thing.
Listen, you can rage with every misfire of every club and shot you try. You can get pouty. You can get completely disconnected where you just don't care what the results are anymore. Be completely detached, but you can't quit. I've only done it once or twice, and usually it's because there were other factors involved where your boy was just too in the moment with I don't know, beer. And that's applicable. You can get too drunk to golf, but now you can't do anything else to golf.
Because I've gone to two driving ranges, and I've hated my experiences both times.
Oh, see, I don't think driving ranges are great if you're trying to work on your game. I don't think it's a good approximation of what golf is. To me, golf is, and usually I prefer to golf alone because I like things that you can, I like walking in nature. I like hiking because those things can be meditative. You know, you're paying attention to your surroundings, but you're kind of letting yourself go in the moment of just letting your ego go, letting all the crap go. I think you're going to love it. Even if you're not good, if you put the emphasis on I golfed and I wasn't good, you are going to hate it. But if you put the emphasis on I hung out with my best friends, I had some drinks, right? And I just got out in nature and, you know, had some good laughs, had some good conversation, you're going to see very quickly why people get addicted to golf.
Yeah, I feel like you said, I'm not going to be very good. I'm going to be very, very bad. But I feel like I might have that one shot that I'm like, oh, man. Now I'm kind of addicted to this.
You've kind of spoken like a real golfer. Because every time I go golfing, I can have 100 bad cuts. If I had one, there's a still got it mentality. There is. You can't tell me. Do you golf much, Jake Volnick?
I have never golfed in my life. I mean, I've golfed like twice. The last time I golfed was like in eighth grade.
How are you alive?
The same way that Jake Murren's alive, we're the same exact age.
Yeah, but he was married by the time he was 16, for God's sake. He's had a woman taking care of him since he was 16. Like, I know you're with, you got a girlfriend here, but if you're a young single man, and I just feel like, we're close to you being on a watch list here.
JP always
didn't
says,
even react to the watch list thing.
I'm just going to ignore that one. Everyone always says, like, golf is inexpensive. Like, JP always says, he tells me, it's not that expensive of a sport.
No, it is expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah. I don't have a lot of money at this point in my name and life. And it's something that I've never done. I've gone to, like, Top Golf, and I swing it like a baseball bat because I played baseball my entire life. Nobody ever taught me how to swing a golf club. So
I still swing it like a baseball club. And by the way, there's actually a trendy kind of thing going around that, like, rework your golf swing as a baseball swing, not literally, but like using some of the same mechanics and principles. My buddy Jeremy's actually trying it out. It's obnoxious because he got so bored being moderately good with one way and he goes to another. It's like that's showing off. That said, I really think like, one, we all have to find things that you gotta like that help you distract yourself from the fact that this is life and it's hard and there's a lot of things to do. I can't wait. I can't wait till like 4 weeks from now. Jake has gone golfing like three times, and he's like, "Hey, got any golf?" He's like the Chappelle character. I can't remember the name of it anymore. I was like Clayton Bigsby. That's a different Chappelle character. And we already got somebody here who's like Clayton Bigsby. But no, I think you're going to love it. What's like your biggest concern, though?
Just looking completely lost. Like, I'm even questioning, what do I need to bring anything? What do I bring? What do I... I don't think I own, like, a polo. Even like a golf polo. Like, if I show up in a shirt, am I just going to be exiled from golf right there and then? Yeah, it's in Kent.
You're going to be fine.
And I don't have golf clubs.
Okay, then can you borrow your buddies?
I mean, I'm going to have to, right?
Yeah. Oh, are they... How much taller are they than you?
One significantly taller, the other one about the same height as me.
Okay, use his clubs.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This is something that I'm still really bad at. You can ask your friends for hey, what club should I use? Don't run from that. I don't do it, and I should, because I don't golf enough to know, oh, hey, this is a great spot to use your lob. I kind of guess about it. But the reality is, my buddy Jeremy knows more than me on that, and two, I don't know how I'm swinging in today. So if they watch me, they might be able to go, hey, you're swinging a little long today. Use this one instead. I think you're in a great spot. I'm like excited for you. You gotta stop being nervous. Like this is like a proud papa moment. Like between me and JP, we're gonna be like, this is like the first time I came home from a date. And my dad was like peppered me with 17 questions, and it was all really depressing because it was like adding it in a peck on the cheek. And he was like, "Nah, it's great. It's great. That's what you want it to be." And I was like, "It's not. I want it to be other things." And he was like, "You're 14. Chill." Now, truthfully, like, this is going to be awesome. I think we got to embrace the awesomeness of this.
I'm excited to hang out with my buddies. I'm more concerned about golf than anything else, but I do agree that, like, Monday recapping this whole experience for me on Saturday is going to be an interesting one.
I got to say, I think I want to take... Yeah, we talked about the barbecue list. I'd take JP and the two of you out golfing. I won't run from that.
Yeah, I wasn't on that list either.
It's okay.
No, you were assumed.
No, Jake's involved on the list.
Oh, it's Mac right. And I were assumed?
Yeah.
Well, but JP wasn't because he was number one on the list.
Because what would happen if I didn't put him on that list?
Well, you would just tell him he was assumed.
We think
that would be taken personally. Yeah. Let us know that would be taken personally.
I'd like to keep him as my best friend.
Shots fired there by Nick.
Not shots fired. Truth spoken by Nick. Justin Latta. Wait, actually, you know what? 216-474-0092. What advice do you have for Jake Murren as he goes to go golfing for the first time? Mine is very simple here. Expect to be almost unplayable and understand that that's exactly where you should be. And if you learn like one thing the first day, you've won. If you have that one shot because somebody said, hey, line up behind the ball a little bit more, and you just knock one straight down the fairway for a couple hundred yards, 200 yards. Take the victories. Ooh, I got another one for you. I'm like all of a sudden Dr. Phil over here. Take the victories. Expect to suck. Take the victories. 216-474-0092. Advice, for Jake Murren on his first attempt to go golfing. Justin Latta joins us. Locked on Guardians. In 5 minutes, we'll talk some prospects. We'll also talk about the Guardians getting out of this schneid in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.